This episode is brought to you by Mechanoids. Alex, have you ever wanted some robots to build a new colony for you?
No, Roboman, please.
No, no. We've heard the bad press on the Roboman. We got a different sponsor this time.
We need less bad press.
I will say that these ones do have flamethrowers, but they're large and spherical, so you know they're not going to, like, grab you, except with maybe with wire-like little tiny arms.
Okay.
But have you wanted to start your own colony on another planet?
You know what? Sure.
Well, these mechanoids, they're the things for you.
Okay.
Okay, so giant, spherical, that sphere holds a smart brain, so long as you remember the recognition code, so they remember you. Otherwise...
Can you tell me the code?
No, it's on the inside of the sphere.
Oh.
If you forget the code... They're just going to imprison you, that's all. They're not very hostile.
Okay.
We've had a conversation with a former captive, Stephen Taylor, and he said they just shoved him in a room for a few months. So, but if you know the recognition codes, they'll build a whole colony for you.
Oh, such upside.
And if you go to the website mechanus.co, if you put the code FANANDFOOL in, you'll get two mechanoids for the price of one.
Wow. Do they have the same code or do you have to remember two?
You need two different codes.
Oh no, what if you mix them up?
Then they will imprison you.
I see, no problems with this.
What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of the ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity!
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity.
Welcome to the Fan of the Fool, everyone. I'm the fan, Matt Antonelli.
I'm the fool, Alex Cameron.
What
great sponsors, by the way.
So we are up to the last episodes of this season.
Yes.
Okay, and then I've got some ideas for what we should do next. So I think we should talk about that at the end.
Good, because I was going to say good question, but that wasn't a question. Good thought.
I like thinking.
I looked at the next season and it starts at episode 15, so obviously...
We miss a few. Yeah. I was going to see if there's any of, like, bits and pieces that we can just kind of, like, maybe cobble together.
Yep.
But I was thinking for next week, to celebrate the end of another season...
Yes.
...we should watch the next Daleks movie.
That's a great idea.
Because I think they're popping off.
They're popping off?
They're being removed from...
Oh,
the
Daily Motion.
No, what's it called? What's the thing that we use?
Ripbox. Why?
It says, I don't know why, but it says on the I think that it's like leaving soon. I'm sure we'll be back.
Oh.
But you know how sometimes things just kind of like rotate?
Yeah.
So I reckon we should watch it's Dalek Invasion of Earth 2150 AD. Okay. Starring Peter Cushing.
Oh, he's back, baby.
And that's basically the returning cast member.
Oh.
So, there's a few problems, mainly because people are like, I don't really want to do this. But it does also star one Bernard Cribbins, who is like a super famous Doctor Who person.
Oh, okay.
So, that's the first Doctor Who thing he appears in, but it is not the last.
Interesting.
But yeah, it's a weird first choice. I think he plays a police officer who just like stumbles into the TARDIS.
Oh, so he's not like one of the main people at the beginning.
No, he's remember Ian from the last movie?
Oh, the police officer.
No, you remember the guy that was an idiot?
Yes.
This is the idiot for this one.
Oh, so he's still an idiot.
Well, he's a police officer. I think he's slightly more intelligent, but he's still pretty bad. And the doctor is like still kind of like, ooh, I'm all weird still.
Well, I guess if he's coming back, he can't change his character too much.
I just want to see if they cram, you know, what was that, 6 episodes?
Yes.
It might have been 4. I think it was 6.
I think it was 6 because we did two.
It was a big Susan leaving thing.
Yes, that's right.
So I wonder if they'll cram that all in. I don't think Susan's in it.
So you haven't seen this
Susie.
One?
Susie. I haven't seen this one.
Interesting.
I did see the previous one.
Yeah.
But a long time ago, I forgot how stupid Ian was. Mainly because I just thought it was interesting.
How they tried to format it for a movie.
Yeah. I also have an idea when we finish the next season.
Yeah. I guess? Is it the third movie?
There is no third movie.
Oh.
But I thought we could go back and watch An Unearthly Child, the pilot episode.
Right.
Because that's on BritBox. Not the one we watched that was televised. The pilot.
Oh. That's
the, like, BBC watched to be like, oh yeah, we'll make this a thing.
That sounds great. But we finished season one and then watched the first movie.
Yes.
Well, it makes sense that we do the second movie and then do the pilot. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Now, Matthew, do you have anything to review for us? Yes or no?
I do. So I've been watching... been listening. Sorry. This is Matthew's brief and spoiler-free review of Audio Play.
Yeah,
so
got it right.
The episode I was listening to, it just came out recently. It's called The Fourth Doctor Adventures, The Nine.
Oh.
Now, I've mentioned a villain in this podcast before that I like very much, called The Eleven.
Yes, I remember
when
that.
He, like, every previous one of him is still inside his head.
Mm-hmm.
So, this series, I think it's like four episodes long, it takes place a bit earlier in his, like, personal life. So instead of being the 11, he's currently the 9.
Right.
And so we haven't really met the 9 once before, because the 9, this is going to get really confusing, but there's a series called Ravenous, which the 8th Doctor versus, like, takes on the 11. And in that series, the 11, when he is in his 11th incarnation,
right,
meets the 9 as, like, a separate person.
Okay.
But both of them still retain their previous everyone. So they're all talking to each other, and it's pretty good for a bit there.
But then how can the 11 lose if he knows what the 9 has did in the past, always?
Because it... timey-wimey. So you can't, because you can't retain memories from an event where you met your previous, your future self.
Oh, okay. Is it almost like it's so, I was going to say mind-bending, but time-bending, that your brain can't fathom it in order to be able to remember it for future reference?
Yeah. So basically it's like...
Is that what timey-wimey is actually means?
No, it's just used to explain away anything that you can't really explain. The latest, like, incarnation of those characters, like, you do meet him when he's the 10 as well.
Right.
And the 12. So you kind of meet them at different points. And the one that's, like, the body at that moment has a particular goal. So for the 11, he's all, like, sneaky and, like, wants to, like, kill the Time Lords and be in charge of everything and whatever.
Right.
And rule the universe. But the 9 is just a kleptomaniac. So he just wants to steal everything for just the sake of it. So in this one, he figures out how to shrink and, like, collect planets.
Oh.
So the Doctor's like, that's... No, we can't do that. Yeah. So the 4th Doctor, Tom Baker,
mm-hmm.
He comes back. And does another few episodes. He's like because he's the oldest Doctor currently around.
Who's still alive
because he played the 4th Doctor. He's currently 88.
Wow.
And he does these, and he seems to just, like, have a blast. Because I guess you just kind of sit, and he still has the voice, you know, like, he's still the 4th Doctor.
Yeah.
But doesn't have to do all the running around. He can just be like, rah, here I am. So, very good. Very happy.
Is it like a recent release?
Yeah, it came out in June. That was last month.
Wow.
The cover looks like this. There goes my phone.
Oh, yes. I'm going to assume that's a picture of him when he was younger.
That is a picture of him when he was younger.
Yeah.
And that face behind him, that's the 9.
Oh, okay.
It's always funny when another member of him inside him tries to, like, break through. So the voice actor who does the 9 has to basically do the 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, he has to do all of them.
So it's the same guy.
It's the same guy because it's his body.
Right, right.
So when the 11, when was the 11? That character, that actor, Mark Bonner, he voiced all 11 of those. So, for example, when the six, like, tries to break through, he's just, like, a murderer. So then he has to just go into, like, psychopath mode. And it's pretty good. Tom Baker's always great, and the story is really great, and it made a lot of sense. Sometimes audio plays can go a bit bananas. But this one was really good. Out of
13
for now. Soon it will be 14.
Oh.
And we have to add 1/14th to all our previous scores so that it all balances, syncs up
correctly. The listener will have to do that retrospectively. not our problem.
I want to give it a 12.
Ooh.
Listen to it.
Wow.
Listen to it.
Well, when we get there in the consecutive timeline that is time travel in Doctor Who, I will. But until then, I know one Doctor. And maybe,
not for long.
And maybe seven villains. Yeah, I get that. I get that. Well, there is maybe 14 episodes. Wait, is it him in the next?
Yeah, it's still him.
Well, there's like 14 episodes that we could have seen of him.
Yeah. You know what? Just typo, then I reckon. Something more interesting is probably on.
I can't believe that because I love this Doctor. And the next guy...
Not to preempt what we're going to say about these episodes today, but this is, like, these are my I think this might be my favourite collection of episodes of him. Probably since the Aztecs. Like, this is real good.
The storyline we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Me too.
Excellent.
I loved it.
Bing Bong.
Is it Doctor Who?
Who?
Yes.
I tried to pick something that, yeah, it's not on the table.
It's a mouse.
Because I think the last few times it's just been repeatedly Doctor Who things.
Oh, so this one's not.
Well, damn it. Well, maybe I'll change it.
No, I was just making that up. I didn't see it. You could have just gone with it. I'll close my eyes and just pick something.
It's just not obviously Doctor Who.
Okay.
You know, the last couple of times I've done ones where it's like, it's definitely Doctor Who.
Right.
So I feel like this is more ambiguous. It's this box.
Am I allowed to look at it?
Yeah.
As in pick it up?
Yes.
I won't open it.
You can open it.
Oh, that still won't tell me what it is?
No. Because I took the thing out that's inside it.
Okay, well, these are pictures of, like, medieval soldiers. So I'm going to guess it's a Lego part from... like an Age of Empires thing or something, but it's not Doctor Who. And if it is, and you've tricked me, that's the best double bluff of all time. But I don't think it's Doctor Who.
Well, first of all, it's not. But secondly, yes. There is Doctor Who Lego out there.
I believe that.
And I want it.
I don't believe it has
all
that
over this place.
But it doesn't have medieval imagery on it.
You're also wrong. That's Star Wars imagery. This is Star Wars Lego.
I believe it's Star Wars Lego. That's not Star Wars imagery.
It is in Mandalorians.
Oh. What's that?
I went to EB Games the other day to buy my sister, she better not be listening, a birthday present. And while I was there, there was this Lego set.
Ooh.
And now this is a Ahsoka Tano, former Jedi Knight, not former Padawan. And she was all like, actually, these Jedi suck, which is true. Face some facts. And then they were like, can you go kill Darth Maul? She did. Int. She captured him.
In what? Mandalorian?
In...
what are we spoiling for people?
In the Clone Wars. I mean, that's a while ago.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched it and you're listening to this...
Don't.
Why not?
Oh, yes, it's great. Apparently.
It's a very good cartoon show.
Okay.
Well, I do like the spiky head on Darth Maul. That's very good.
That's very cool.
You will notice he has legs again, even though he got cut in half that time.
True.
But he survived that.
Is that what happens in the Clone Wars?
Yeah. So he gets cut in half. He falls down the... You know, you see that in the movie.
Yeah.
And he gets, like, picked up by some, like, garbage thing.
Okay.
And he gets rebuilt...
Well, we
like
now,
Darth Vader style, but
well,
just
the Darth Emperor, just because Darth we now find out that he survived that insane fall down the.
Yeah, but he got turned. I don't know. That whole situation is crazy to me. So, is that the Emperor's original body, or is that he just a new body.
Yes.
Which one of those?
Uh-huh. Let's not go there. But you know why they brought him back? Because he was the only interesting thing in the last trilogy.
He wasn't in the last trilogy until the last episode.
Yes, and I stand by my statement.
I did like the part where Snoke just gets cut in half, even though he's all like, "I'm the Emperor now," and then he's just like, "Shoop." It's pretty good.
Do you know what this is like? Do you know why they're... I'm not saying they're bad. They're better than the prequels. I mean, that's not hard.
Next. Now, this episode was written by... Oh, J.J. Abrams. I understand.
No. It had a narrative.
Yeah. That's why we know it's written by Dennis Spooner.
Yeah, who we've come to kind of like.
Yes. Yeah, so, I've got his page open. So, let's just... He did The Reign of Terror, which is good.
Very good.
But he also did The Romans...
Oh, that was not good.
But I feel like he's learned some lessons, and he wrote this one to the Time Meddler.
Redeemed himself.
So
this is a great story.
Yeah. In fact, I was on board for the whole way through because I think there's enough mystery that kind of just pulls you on. Because at first it's a bit like ho-hum, like they land at a place in history. And you're like, oh, it's just going to be another time where there's like two things fighting each other. There's some Vikings and there's some Saxons or whatever. And they're just going to be like, oh, it's history. Let's watch history. But this time, there's a spanner in the works and that is another time traveler. Yes. And that just makes it much better. Damn. Now, I unfortunately already knew who the monk was.
Okay.
Because he's appeared in many like extended universe like audio plays and played by different actors and actresses because he's a Time Lord. So him and the Doctor are the same species, but just not explicitly said in that episode.
Well,
I mean they
this is all I know, because I haven't seen any of the other stuff. I know that he's from the same place as the Doctor, and the Doctor is about 50 years older than him.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure they must be the same species.
Mm.
But it wasn't... You're right, it wasn't explicitly said.
And they didn't say, we are Time Lords.
I don't think that... Has that phrase even been used yet?
I don't think so, but I believe it is coming soon.
Ooh.
So, let's go through the story.
Can I just quickly say, though?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, go. Say thing.
Oh, I don't know if I want to now. You know at the end, how he kind of was like yelling, Doctor!
Yeah, that happens again.
Well, I figured he was coming back because, you know, it made me think of...
You'll pay for this, Captain Planet!
Yeah.
And how you're like, okay, they're going to have run-ins all the time. So when it had that Captain Planet type ending, I was like, okay, he's going to be a recurring guy.
He is going to come back, like... He isn't a lot in the extended universe stuff, but he does reappear on the TV show.
Nice.
So it's not the last you've seen of the monk, and he just becomes called the monk, like the Doctor's called the Doctor. It's quite a good... Because the audio plays do quite a good job of having pairing ups that you wouldn't be able to do anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, he meets another nemesis of the Doctor that we'll see soon, and they team up for a bit and...
That guy does, the monk. Well, he's not a monk, but the guy playing the monk. Time Lord playing the monk.
Yeah, well, he is just called the monk. That's just what he becomes called. And then I think he regenerates at some point and becomes the nun? All right.
Shall we begin?
Yes. So we start with... What do we start with, Alex?
First episode's called The Watcher.
Yep. Where do we come from? What just happened previously on Doctor Who?
We said goodbye to our great love, Barbara. Oh, Ian was there too. I don't care about him.
He beat a Jaguar warrior-ish.
Have you seen Barbara? I don't care.
She was, like, in charge. Like, they thought she was a goddess at that point, I guess.
Who did?
The Aztecs. Remember, she had the bracelet on. Oh,
yeah, of course.
She put the bracelet on, and they were like, oh my gosh, she's got the bracelet on.
I thought you were talking about, like, the fans of the show were like, oh my gosh. They probably were.
She was good. So
I will miss her.
Vicky and the Doctor are like, they have a few minutes of like, oh, I'm going to miss him and all that kind of stuff. More than what he would have had with Susan, I think. You know, when which after Susan left, he was just like, so I found a Vicky, so that's okay. You know what I mean? Like, just
but that's, of... don't you find that weird? Because the show starts, she's already with him.
How so long she would have been together? Well, granddaughter, you'd think she would have known him for her the whole life, you'd think.
But he's more worried about missing these strangers that he's been with for, what, a year?
Yes. And he was even like, oh, they really wanted to go home. And they did, because, you know, they didn't really choose to go with him. No. It just kind of happened.
And they don't know when they're going to get the chance again.
Yeah. So the Doctor is also like, I can take you home if you like. But he can't. You know what I mean? Like, he's not deciding where they land.
Yeah.
So can he go back to somewhere that he landed previously? Is that what he's trying to say? Well, because he had the fast return switch. Remember that? I'll ask you. But he can't fast return back that far, can't? Isn't it just head him to the previous location? We had this discussion, I think,
well,
already.
Well, that's the problem with the fast return switch. It's either A, the previous location, or B, the beginning of time.
I mean, the beginning of time, you'd eventually then work your way forward into where she is from.
What happens if you go back to the beginning of time and then press the fast return switch?
You might go to the opposite of the beginning of time. The end of time. They do go to the end of time.
Ooh.
Multiple times.
Multiple times.
First time, I think...
First time.
Is as the 10th Doctor.
Yeah.
By accident. Because someone messes with his ship.
With time.
And then he goes back as the 12th Doctor to meet someone.
Is that for the second time?
Yeah, he goes to find someone who's immortal. So he goes, well, I'll know where they'll be.
The end of time. That's brilliant, actually. That's right. Oh, man, we have to wait 9 Doctors to get to that storyline.
The 12th Doctor's pretty clever. And he's pretty... everyone at the start, he's like a grumpy old man. But I'm like, this guy started as a grumpy old man. He develops into a much less grumpy old man.
Yeah. It's weird. He, like, ages backwards.
Yes. I think that is true of all Doctors, really. So I think maybe... except for, like, the 5th Doctor and the 11th Doctor, because they're just played by actors who are so young, and I think they start as a bit more immature and then become more serious.
Okay.
So, right. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be an amazing twist if at some point they said, we're going to end Doctor Who, and, oh, plot twist, it was a Benjamin Button experience the whole time. He was always getting younger, and he dies as a baby.
Technically, he's just constantly regenerating, so his age is difficult to determine. I was waiting for a bit in here. I thought that he was going to state his age, but we're just not there yet.
Not yet. He did say he's 50 years older than the other guy.
Yes, you got a relative age, but that's relative not age. It's not the age that he is.
It's also relative to a species we don't know anything about yet. So, anyway...
So, they're talking, and the conversation is interrupted by a sound. And who is that sound?
Well, first of all, it was also the return of the cool, spooky music from the Space Museum.
Yes, because there's someone in the ship, and they don't know who it is.
And they think it's a Dalek.
Yeah, I feel like a Dalek can't really sneak into a TARDIS, though.
Oh.
So...
And also, it doesn't rustle along anywhere. It's just wheeling around.
Yeah.
Know the difference.
It skitters about. It was anyway, Steven. It's Steven.
It's Steven.
Now, I already knew Steven was coming back. Like we all knew he was going to survive that. The last episode. I did anyway, because I knew he was a companion of the Doctor.
Well, I think you kind of said something that made me think, oh, he must be coming back.
He was also the same actor who plays... annoying guy on Empire State Building.
Yeah.
That I said was the Eiffel Tower, I think, that time. So, yes. What do you think of Steven? Because this is really his first episode, you know, as a companion, and he's doing things.
He's much more helpful than most companions so far.
Yes, I would agree with that statement.
But I don't know how much of a personality he has yet. He's just kind of there doing things, you know what I mean?
I feel like he's more action man
yes.
than Ian was. Like, I know Ian did take on a Jaguar Warrior, but he also has...
That's just a random reference for all time now, because he did so many things, but there's something about that, hey?
But yeah, but he's clearly like... He's a science teacher. Like, he's a school teacher.
Yeah.
He's not... you know, a lot of the time he does those action things because
yeah.
he's in a situation where he is forced to, not his first choice to.
Yes.
Which is, Steven seems to be like, nah, it's like, there's a so just to kind of get on to what his first act is when he gets out of the ship. So they have a conversation and they're like, it's a time machine. And he's like, time machine, whatever, that's not a real thing.
Yeah.
And they go outside and he's like, well, this just looks like Earth and this is a beach and oh my gosh, how crazy is this? And they're having a little back and forth between the three of them, and there's a monk hiding behind a rock who's kind of like listening to everything going on.
Yeah.
And so the doctor goes,
let's split up.
Yeah. He goes, I'm gonna go alone, I can't climb. So rather than trying to, I'll take the long way up, and when I get to the top, rather than the three of us go together, you wait there, and when I get to the top, I'll let you know I'm there, and you can climb up.
But you know why he had that plan? Because they needed it for the narrative.
Well, I think it was good for the narrative.
Yeah, but like, come on.
But I think he could have just said, it looks like there's a town over there, I'll go check that out. Why don't you guys go up there? That looks like a good vantage point so we can kind of see what's around.
Yeah. They would have been in the same situation as where the narrative takes them anyway.
Yeah, I should write stories.
And send them back to 1960.
To Dennis Spooner. So Stephen, restless as he is, apparently, is like, well, we should just climb up there anyway while the doctor... So, let's leave the doctor... We'll talk about the doctor's situation in a minute. But Stephen and Vicky climb up.
Yeah.
And they come across someone... just, like, in the bush.
And they're hiding.
Yeah. But Stephen just...
Yeah, because Vicky says... They have a whole conversation where Vicky's like, don't go. We don't know if he's going to be dangerous or not.
Yeah.
And he just... Stephen just... goes after the guy. There's no thought about it.
Yeah.
And that's where they discover the watch.
So Stephen, Vicky are interrupted by another figure. They hide in the undergrowth waiting for the man to disappear, but he bends and seems to inspect something very closely. Worried that it might be something of theirs, Stephen confronts the man, which ends in a scuffle. Stephen has got what the man was looking at, and it's a modern day watch.
Yeah.
So they thought they must have dropped something that he's now looking at.
Yeah.
I still don't think that's a good enough reason to then try and tackle that person.
No. And this is why Stephen has a hard time accepting that they've travelled in time, because he's now holding a watch, like a modern day watch.
But I like, yeah, that was a good,
yeah,
like, early thing to happen, to be like, oh, where are we then?
Yeah.
Like, as the viewer.
Yeah, because exactly. Because you're like, okay, they're back with Saxons and eventually Vikings, but there's a watch.
Yeah.
Like a proper watch.
I do like the line where they found the Viking helmet on the beach and the doctor was like, he's like, see, it's a Viking's helmet. And Stephen's like, that could be, you know, anything. And he's like, oh, what? It's like a space helmet for a cow.
Yeah, he's quite sassy in these episodes again.
It is, yeah. He's very... I wonder if he went on holidays briefly before this, because he seems very... and energized.
I think he goes on holidays in episode 2.
He's
not in the entirety of episode 2.
Let's look at some trivia.
That was going to be a question for you, I think. Or at least 90% of it, he's not in it.
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah. I realized, I was like, I'm going to make a note, because... Well,
William Hartnell was on holiday for the week the Medley Monk was recorded, and so the Doctor's appearance is limited to the prize and heard only as a pre-recorded voiceover. So, well done. You've solved the return of our non-recurring, like, you know, infrequent segment,
Who's on Holidays?
So, while Stephen and Vicky are tackling innocent people, the Doctor, he's just kind of like doing his normal wandering about. Not as good a montage as like the Reign of Terror when he's like walking to Paris or whatever. But this one, he's just walking through a house because I guess he figures, oh yeah, I can walk into just some stranger's house. And he gets caught.
Yeah.
And turns out it's just a woman who's just like, oh, I thought you were trying to rob with me or something.
Yeah.
And he has a good conversation with her in a garden. At first I was like, oh, the doctor and a lady in a garden.
Oh, room for the last time.
But then she said husband. And I was like, oh, okay.
Flashbacks to the hot old woman.
Yes, that's what I mean. Now, and the doctor, again, has a moment where he's just very pleased with himself. Because he asks her a bunch of questions. I guess he doesn't want to draw too much attention, because you wouldn't want to, in case someone's like, why are you asking me what year it is? You know what I mean? So he asks a bunch of questions to work out that it's 1066.
Yeah.
The Vikings are on their way to this location, because this is...
England.
It is Northumbria. He does say that in the episode.
Northumbria.
He says that to this woman. He goes, oh, we're in Northumbria.
She does question for a second, why are you asking me this? But then she's like, oh, he's a sweet old man, whatever.
Yeah. And she's a hot old woman. Now, I thought, in retrospect, like, because I didn't understand why the doctor was immediately like, I've got to go to the
monastery.
Because the sound becomes distorted from the singing from the monks.
Yeah.
And that's obviously because it's a record player. Yeah. It's just a... What's it called? A thing phone. What's it called?
Saxophone.
No, that's a different thing.
Dictaphone.
No, that's... Is that a different thing?
Megaphone.
No, it's also a different thing.
Telephone.
We'll get there.
A record player. It was a record player.
Record player. Like, playing... Lots of loud, like, monk singing. Now, I thought the distorted sound was weird too, but I didn't put together that it was, like, a record player. I just thought he's heard something off and decided to go investigate.
Well, see, because you could hear the monks singing in the background, like, doing their harmonizing and they're all...
That's what monks do, yeah.
That's what monks do. I did hear the sound, and I thought, oh, that's what it is. But it happens at the same time as him tapping on a bowl on the fire. And I was like, has he caused that to make a weird sound?
Yeah, I know him was, he was in the bottle.
And suddenly the sound went...
But I think, is that because the needle kind of reaches the end? And
yeah.
I guess you got to put it back up.
It had nothing to do with him doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then he goes, okay, there's something fishy going up there.
And so he's just like... Because she's like, stay the night. My husband will be fine with this. And,
oh, jeez.
And then he's like, nah, I gotta go. And walks off.
Yeah.
And, that's all I had for this episode.
I do have a couple of things to say before we move on.
Yep.
He says the line to Stephen, don't call me Doc. And also, they have a conversation about the appearance of the TARDIS when they first land on the beach.
Correct.
And Stephen says, oh, so if it was on a beach, it would look like a big rock. And Doctor says, yes. And he goes, well, hello, it's still a police box. And Vicky says, it's a technical hitch that needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
But we now know 60 years later, it's either never fixed or they just dropped that storyline. Do you know?
Yes, I do know.
But you can't tell me?
Well, I don't think it's a spoiler. But there are moments where... He does fix it.
Oh, okay.
And then he goes, nah, actually, I like the box.
Okay, okay.
And so does the British public.
Yes. I see. So it is canon still. It still fits into the overall narrative, that conversation.
What doesn't really make sense is, because the box does change over the years.
Yes.
How
does it know to do that?
It gets bigger. And the windows occasionally change sides. And the sign on the front that says, like, pull to open, that changes wording and colour a few times. And sometimes it has a St. John's Ambulance sticker on it, and sometimes it doesn't. So it's just kind of... It does change.
Regardless.
Normally when there's a new doctor, the inside will change, and then the outside will change as well.
And suddenly it's in colour.
Technicolour.
At some point.
Episode 2.
Imagine being like, wow, this was one of the first movies in Technicolor. Oh, it's the Doctor Who movie.
That's not a bad movie.
Yes. Well,
Ian, just take Ian out.
Oh, then it's brilliant.
The monk makes the doctor breakfast. But I...
Oh, so when the water gets thrown through the window by the doctor and he says, get away from me, I'm not ready. That was the recorded line because he was on holidays.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So when the monk's making him breakfast... I was already like, okay, so there's something weird going on here because he made like a pretty good breakfast for 1066.
Yeah, he has electricity.
Yeah, so he was like cooking bacon and eggs and whatever.
Yeah.
So obviously, well done.
Bing bong.
So the doctor rejects breakfast and then throws what appears to be the contents of a wash basin through the hatch in the door straight into the monk's face.
Oh, so it could have been... urine.
Wash basin. Not...
Well, we don't see the thing, do we?
Yeah, but that's not a wash basin. Isn't that called something else?
Yeah, but the guy doesn't say, oh, I wish you hadn't thrown the contents of that wash basin at me. It could have been anything.
But the wiki says wash basin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So the wiki knows what's going on.
I didn't chuckle to myself. It was quite a sassy moment.
It does say in the next sentence, Stephen and Nikki have spent the night in a clearing... As Stephen goes to fetch breakfast, it's just a bunch of blackberries, though, isn't it? Isn't that all he gets?
Yeah.
Yeah, so well done.
He does try to joke around. He's like, okay, there's a choice of blackberries in this hand or
blackberries.
And I was like, oh.
And she was like,
this is an attempt to give him personality. It hasn't worked yet.
No.
Not buying it, cowboy.
He's just channeling that Empire State Building character a little bit.
Yes, which is not good. I want to know what people thought at the time of that. Did they chuckle or did they go, this is lame?
They went, him. Keep him.
Gold! What an impression.
Elsewhere, the monk is given food by the women of the village, which he accepts gratefully. He goes off to wait on the cliffside, and what does he see? Vikings.
Oh, yes.
He uses binoculars.
Yes, which is another...
Which clue. I also thought was weird in 1066. Well, maybe they had binoculars in 1066, but I don't think so.
No, I think that's part of the idea, is like, wow, how has he got all this stuff? And they're not the pockets made,
are bigger on the inside.
They're not like the binoculars we have today. They would have been like the one-eyed, like... Yeehaw, I'm a pirate.
Periscope. No, it's not called a periscope. Telescope? It's not called a telescope.
Kaleidoscope?
No, that's a different thing again, because it's got all the shapes inside it.
Scope?
We are doing really badly with words today. Telescope.
Maybe it is, it's just a different type. Because a telescope is one.
Yes.
You look through it with one eye, but it's like a...
Wouldn't that be a uniscope?
I've never heard of that before.
I think it is a telescope. Because the periscope is in a submarine, isn't it?
Monoscope?
I don't think they'd use mirrors these days, wouldn't they? They'd just put a camera up there. Stick a camera up there.
Anyway, so he sees...
yes, sorry.
He sees the Vikings are coming, and he says...
Yes.
I'm on time, or something similar like that. And you're like, oh, geez.
Now, is this the point, and is it further on? Okay, sorry, no, it is further on. Because later, he has a checklist.
Yeah, it's not that early.
Because I love the checklist. Oh, I'm doing an evil plan. And I'll just check that we're doing it right.
Pants together. No, because I do distinctly remember for at least the first two episodes, you're not quite sure what's going on.
Yeah,
because
it's still weird. Like, you're not sure if he's doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
Just like, well, except he's imprisoned the doctor, but maybe he's doing a good thing, and he's like, there's these other time travelers that are going to screw this thing up.
I actually love, I love these episodes because the mystery was so good and they didn't let up for ages. And you're like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
It was great.
So, Stephen and Vicky, they're taken to the village and the villagers are like, they're having a discussion because some of them are like, we should kill these people. And some of them are like, why would we, why are we killing these people? We should just send them on their way.
They're just travellers.
Yeah, so eventually they come around and they go, well, we'll give them some food and then they can just go up. They just want to go to the monastery, so they're not going to cause us any problems. So we'll just do that.
Yeah.
And so Stephen and Vicky get to the monastery and they knock on the door and out pops the monk.
The monk.
And he's just like, yeah, everything's cool.
I haven't seen anybody
around here. I haven't seen anyone with white hair and checkered pants.
And a cloak.
And a cloak. I'll see you later. clever, but also stupid. So, I never really got to the bottom of whether he wanted them.
We better explain this.
Okay.
So what happens is, the monk goes back in, and Vicky and Stephen. I've got to remember now, because we have a new companion. Steve-o. It's going to take me a while. Steve. Oh. Yeah, Steve-o. I'm just going to call him that forever now. So I was going to say Jackie. So Vicky and Steve-o, I was thinking of Jackie-o. So Vicky and Steve-o have a conversation and he says, I have a plan, just go with it. And she says, okay. And so they knock on the door.
Almost ruins it immediately.
Of course.
I won't say anything. I'll say something immediately.
And they say, oh, have you seen an old man? And he's like, no. And they said, oh, and how did you describe him? And he says, oh, all the things that we said. White hair, cloak, pants.
Check pants. And he was wearing pants.
And it takes Vicky about half an hour to go, oh, we never told him what he looked like.
Yes, right.
And so Steve-O goes, that's the plan. Now we know that he knows who the doctor is. But then Vicky says, but that seems way too easy.
Which I think, yes.
I agree with her.
I do agree with her, but then what's the point of that?
Because she says, well, maybe he's tricking us...
To go in there.
But it never... What is the plan?
Because if I wanted them in there to trap them as well...
Yeah.
I probably would have been like, yeah, he's in here. Come in.
I was helping him. He hurt himself.
Now, well, he's in that room. Yep, in that... And then lock them in that room.
Yeah. Instead, he double fakes... Not maybe yes, knowing the doctor's there in the hopes that they realize and go, we'll break in anyway. What? That's the only part of the narrative.
They do break in though. That's good.
Yeah, it worked. But that's the only part of the story that doesn't make sense. Explain yourself. I'm talking to you. You're the fan. Explain it. Dennis Spooner, explain yourself.
Yeah, I'll get in touch with Dennis. So the Vikings, they land, and Sven is one of them.
Yes.
And Ulf. Don't laugh, that's his name.
Why is his name what happens when you spot a failure on the internet?
And Gunnar.
Gunnar, the rapper?
Specifically on the wiki here, it calls him Gunnar the Giant.
The Falian noise, Sven, and the rapper Gunnar.
And they're like, go, you go that way, you go that way. They do their thing.
Let's split up. We're on Doctor Who, we need to split up.
Yeah, but they do take people with them. They don't just split up on their own. They're an army. They're like, what would you call them? Like an advance party. They're just scouting what's going on.
I think the idea is there's many more of them that we don't see off screen.
Yeah. In a boat.
I'm on a boat.
Stephen and Vicky are like, let's tonight.
Let's tonight.
Please say that the name of the podcast.
I brought some blackberries for tonight.
I just wanted to say let's tonight. They decide tonight they're going to break into the monastery. Okay, they're going
to
do
it. So his plan worked. He gets them to come inside.
Yes. So Stephen and Vicky, they break in, They discover a gramophone. It's called a gramophone. And they're like, oh, this can't be right. There's, you know.
Can I be honest with you? I've never heard the word gramophone in my entire life.
I have.
Definitely. I can't pretend that I'm like, oh, yes, that was it.
So it's like a record player, but it's got the big speaker that comes out of it.
Right.
That makes the sound.
The megaphone.
Yeah, the gramophone, if you will.
If you will.
The monk sees them, and then he's like, oh, this is a problem. So he follows them.
Yeah.
And they get to the doctor's cell, only to find that the doctor's not there. So they're like, great. So he's obviously gotten himself out.
Yep.
And now we're here.
But they realize, how did he get himself out? There must be a secret tunnel.
And they go, let's secret tunnel.
Yep.
So
let's tonight. It sounds like a lesson for kids. Let's TV. Let's book. Let's chair. Lunch? Yes, let's lunch. Actually, that's a phrase. That works.
Let's lunch. Okay, episode 3. We're halfway there.
A battle of wits.
Yeah, it is a battle of wits. I will agree with that. Or mainly, it's a battle of sass, really.
Yes, that's what it should be called. A battle of sass.
So it's just the two. Eventually, we're going to get to a point where the doctor and the monk are just, they figure out who each other are, generally.
Yeah.
And they just have a bit of a, you can't do this. And he's like, well, I'll do what I do.
Yeah.
The doctor's like, you can't. And he's like, oh, I don't know, maybe I will. You know, like, it's just a bit of back and forth like that.
You can't do that. maybe I can do that.
The doctor, so Steve and Vicky have figured out, like, we can go because there's a secret passage. So they crawl through the secret passage.
Yep. Aforementioned secret passage. Yep.
So the monk comes to check on the doctor. And he finds the blankets.
Important question for you. Let's say that they've definitely decided the doctor is being captured by that guy.
Yes.
Right? How do they know what room he's in? Because they're looking through this big building, and they go, there he is, and point at a room. How do they know?
Didn't they come? They came across. Oh, they didn't come across that yet.
They never saw the doctor or him being put in the room.
No.
They just know. But they,
you know, a monastery has a prison in it.
Do you understand my point?
I understand your point.
It'd be like if I walked in here and said, oh, he's over there, and I've never been here before.
So, some Saxons rock up to the monastery because they've been injured in a fight with the Vikings.
Yeah.
And the monk's like, he doesn't really want to help them, but he's also like, I'm supposed to be pretending to be a monk, so I guess I need to let these people come in here.
Yeah.
So he lets them in, begrudgingly. And,
because he's in the middle of trying to trap these two people that he tricked into breaking in by saying things he shouldn't have known.
Yeah.
And then while he's putting that master plan in place, these another people thing arrive. Happens. Yeah.
There's just a spanner thrown into that works.
Into that works.
And I think that it's quite, because so he gives him penicillin for the pain or whatever. So he's using modern medicine to help these people. But he's also just very casually being like, mentioning things from the future.
Like penicillin. He mentions it, yeah.
And then he's like, oh, it's just a herb. Like, you know, like he says things like blood transfusion. Yes, that's what he says. He says blood transfusion. And they're like, what? He's like, oh, that's right. This is 1066. So, Wulnoff?
Yeah, he's like the leader.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just going to leave this guy here with you. So, the doctor is like, all right, this can't be a coincidence. There's Vikings rocking up, and there's this weird monk guy here. So he's like, I've got to go back to the monastery.
Yeah.
Even though last time I went and I got immediately captured, I was go alone again.
Yeah.
So he goes back. Meanwhile, Steve and Vicky come out of the tunnel, and they can't find the doctor because he's gone back to the monastery. But Vicky's idea is, we'll go to the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Because if the doctor's gone back to there, you know, that's probably where he would have gone. Only to find when they get there, it's underwater. Because the ocean.
Yeah.
So.
The tide.
And I do like how later the Doctor's like, it's just the ocean. The TARDIS will be fine. It's like a spaceship. You know?
Yeah, I never thought about that because I was buying the whole, like, are they going to have to try and search for it in the ocean?
Yeah. Well,
but yeah, you're right.
He'd just be like, it's just going to stay there. It's fine. So in the solace of the monastery, the monk pulls over his plan.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so this was my, I would say, again, one of my favourite points. Similar to when Susan was writing a letter for the Daleks, you know, and like, signed it as Susan very clearly. You know, like, things that happen that you're like, you didn't need to, okay, fine. Put a poster of your plan on the wall.
And tick off.
Tick it off. Oh, yes. Arrived? That was the first one. Arrival in Northumbria. It's like, done. So he's got... Do you want to hear the 8 steps?
Yes, I do.
So, arrival in Northumbria. That was ticked. Position atomic cannon, which is Vicky and Stephen find that beside the beach. You know, the cannon
when
the shrubs.
When they're looking for the TARDIS.
Yeah. Tick.
And that's what makes them go, oh, maybe we should go back to the monastery because now it's really weird.
Yeah.
Forget the watch.
3 sight Vikings. Tick. He saw those. He uses
He literally sighted them.
It's a spyglass. Okay, there you go. Multiple sources on Google are like, because I searched, what is a pirate's telescope called? It's a spyglass. Okay. So it's a spyglass. So that's ticked.
Mm-hmm.
Light beacon fires. So that's not ticked. So that's where he's up to.
Yes.
After he lights the beacon fires, step 5, and I feel like this might need some sub-steps to it, it's destroy Viking fleet.
Well, I think that's what the cannon was for, right?
Yes. But I feel like that's one cannon. Is that going to just blow up an entire fleet? I mean, it is an atomic cannon, so I guess it could just destroy all of them at once.
But yeah, I see your point.
Step 6, Norman landing.
Mm-hmm.
Step 7, Battle of Hastings. So I guess he's just going to go over to Hastings.
I remember this, the 8th one. Meet the King.
Meet King Harold. So, yeah. Points 1 to 3 are ticked on the plan, and the monk enumerates that he must turn to the 4th point shortly. there's knocking, and he, like, shoves everything away, because he's like, I don't want people to know my plan.
That I've just outlined here so clearly.
So, the Doctor is the one knocking. So, he knocks and the monk opens the door and there's no one there. And the monk's like, alright, I'll just go back inside. And the knocking happens again. The monk goes outside and the Doctor pokes a stick into his back and I guess pretends it's a gun.
He says, I've got a Winchester pointed at your back. Nice. Even though I'm pretty sure you see the guy look behind him at what's pointing into his back.
He's like, that's a really weird looking Winchester.
That looks like a stick.
And
the Doctor says one of my favourite lines in the story so far. No more monkery.
No more monkery.
I thought that was going to be the episode title, No More Monkery. But then we got Let's Tonight. It's way too good.
Before the Doctor can interrogate the monk, they're interrupted by more banging on the door. And the monk is like, so this is before the knocking happens. This is where they have their back and forth.
Right.
So the monk is all like... The Doctor's trying to, like, ascertain who exactly the monk is. So he's all like, oh, you, what are you doing here? Like, what's the point? Traveling through time and what are you trying to do here? And he's all like, well, I'll never tell, basically. And before they can get too far, because I don't think the Doctor at this point has figured out that the monk has a TARDIS...
No.
There? He hasn't seen that bit yet?
That's the big twist at the end of episode 3.
Yeah. So, he's still trying to figure out who this guy is and why he's got modern technology and all that kind of stuff. And then the knock on the door happens and the monk's like, well, I gotta open the door. And the Doctor's like, you can't open the door. And the monk's like, well, one of us is gonna have to open the door. So, the Doctor puts on a monk cloak.
Yes.
But I never understood that. Why I would get the monk to open the door and just, you know, have something threateningly pointed at him so he doesn't do anything wrong.
Well, the Doctor said something like, you're going to have friends open the door and help you. But I don't understand that. Was he thinking of the Saxons being like, someone's holding the monk hostage? But I don't... I don't get it.
Well, don't... Who comes in?
The Vikings.
Yeah, so the doctor opens the door. Okay, that's right. So the Vikings' plan was to take over the monastery and have the monks as hostages.
Yep.
But there's no other monks.
I think they're also... No, you're right. They don't, but they don't know that.
Yeah, they don't know that yet.
All they hear is this chanting all day.
And so they go in and they take the doctor hostage. And the monk seems to have just...
He runs outside.
Yeah, and the monk goes to the village.
Yes.
So the doctor's back in his cell, it says, where he's guarded by Sven and Ulf.
Oof. And this is when the monk tries to implement the next part of the plan with the beacon fires.
Yes. So he goes to the village and he tells Edith,
I believe,
I need you and Hull, whatever his name is, Hullnoth.
And your bros.
Woolnoth. I need you guys to light the fires. Keep them lit.
Because he doesn't
I've got to go do something.
I have supplies coming to help rebuild the monastery on a ship, so I need you to light the fires.
Yes. And he goes back to the monastery.
Yep.
But
then they discuss amongst themselves the fact that Vikings are there. And so Edith proposes that he's a spy for the Vikings, and he's getting them to light the fires to lead the fleet to them.
And that is actually his plan, though.
Yeah, he's not technically a spy for them, but that would make sense. But
she figures it out. She doesn't figure... She figures out what the end result will be, but not the same, like, pathway to there, I guess.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, if we light the fires, those ships will turn up. But for him, it's... If they light the fires, the ships will turn up and he'll blow them up. Like, he's got his own... Yeah. He's got his own plan going.
But she also knows this because the doctor basically tells her what's going to happen historically.
Yeah, he does. I was surprised by that too. He was just like, yeah, you'll be victorious. Don't even worry about it.
Even though he spent half the episode telling this other time traveler monk, you can't mess with time.
I guess he's not really messing with time. He's just telling them exactly what's going to happen in time.
Yeah.
So, elsewhere in the monastery, so the doctor's been, is back in his cell. But he goes through the secret passage because he's been there before now. He's just locked in the same cell. And he manages to,
No, he doesn't go through the secret passage. He hides behind the door.
Does he?
Because Sven looks through the peephole.
He sees the secret door, but the doctor actually hides behind the door door.
Yeah.
The real door.
Because there's a lot of breaking a stick over a person's head to knock them out.
I did like how well the stick snapped.
Yeah.
It's very good.
I reckon it would have maybe hurt to film that.
Yeah, probably.
They literally break a... Maybe it was...
The 60s, though.
That's true. They let Barbara hold that explosive piece of wood gun.
I think they probably would have done the thing where you get a regular piece of wood and then you, like, thin part of it.
Yeah.
So then it just snaps in someone's head.
But it looks good.
Yeah, it does look good.
But I still don't think, even if it was a regular piece of wood, that that would necessarily knock you out.
No, you just be it was like a piece of, what's that called? The... You know that type of wood? That, like craft wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd just be angry, like, why are you breaking wood on my head, please?
Yes, please.
But they get instantly knocked out. Anyway, it looked pretty good. So the doctor knocks him out.
The doctor knocks him out with that thin piece of wood. And then he sees, No, sorry. I'm getting my people confused. He knocks him out. Stephen and Vicky are in the monastery now. And they see, they find a sarcophagus.
Because
this is the end of the episode.
Yeah.
And they...
Open it up.
Because they see, like, I think power cables going into it.
Yeah.
Because the monk was doing all his stuff on top of the sarcophagus. And they crawl into a TARDIS.
That, I was actually like, that's a cool twist, because I was not expecting that.
You were like, oh, this guy's just some weird time, like, he's got some stuff from the future.
Well, that's when I figured he must be the same species as the Doctor. But up until then, I thought he's either some weird time traveler guy or he's just collected weird pieces from somewhere. But that's when you're like, whoa, there's another TARDIS.
Mm. Part 4.
Checkmate.
The season final. I think it lives up to expectations, to be honest.
Yeah.
So as Stephen and Vicky search the monk's TARDIS, the Doctor interrogates the monk on his intentions in 1066. So this is the monk, this is where he, like, tells the Doctor his rationale. So he says, and I'm going to quote straight from the wiki here.
Please.
The monk admits his plan is to destroy the Vikings to allow Harold Godwinson to take the throne, and he believes this will aid humankind. The monk tries to convince the Doctor that this, that what he's doing is altruistic, so, you know, good. But the Doctor refuses to agree and orders the monk to show him his TARDIS. So he's like, I've got a nice plan. And the Doctor's like, I don't think that you can just mess with time, even though I've messed with time.
But
there was a cave of skulls. Barbara drove a truck into a Dalek. Like, all these times where, you know, they've been very involved in things happening at
Dalek. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But
as we said, if it's in the future...
When is
doesn't
the now?
Count, you know? Doesn't count.
But you know what? I think the Doctor said something like, you know that we're not supposed to mess with time. Almost like wherever they're from, that's a rule or a law.
Well, in their because they kind of like beat around the bush in their conversations. They're kind of a bit back and forth, a bit weird. But they
Battle
do.
Battle of Wits, if you will.
Yes, they do in episode 4, which isn't the same episode as Battle of Wits. They seem to ascertain.
They checkmate.
That they. They figure out that they are of the same species.
Yeah.
And so the Doctor must go, well, you've learned all the same things I've learned.
Mm.
So how can you possibly do this?
Yeah.
Even though I do it all the time. Stephen and Vicky explore the TARDIS, the monk's TARDIS. They find a journal and talks about Leonardo da Vinci.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. Apparently the monk helped him come up with the idea of flight. And I was like, nah, mate.
because up to this point, the Doctor is more involved in a lot of historical things on Earth than we realize. Like, the thing to do with Rome burning and blah, 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 right? Let it burn, I'm the Joker. But now we realize lots of Time Lords, even though they're not called them that, even though they are not yet called that, I'll speak English if I will.
Yes.
Let's tonight.
Yes, I are cannot involved, talk.
They're all involved in different parts of historical things, apparently.
Yeah.
That whole species is basically dictated
history. And we'll meet other Time Lords that, obviously, they do things in time as well.
Right.
So we only meet more of them.
I like the idea that because of the last episode where that boat... In real historical event where that boat rocked up and no one knows where the people went is down to the Daleks. How many more mysteries are they responsible for on Earth?
There's another cool one that we'll see well in the future about Agatha Christie. Because Agatha Christie in real life disappears for 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And comes back.
But doesn't say where she was?
No.
But it's the Daleks.
No, it's not the Daleks.
But it's something to do
with... It's something to do with time travel and the Doctor. So, I find that interesting. Mm. Like, they just find moments of time to be like, yeah, the Doctor was there. He can do a thing. So, the Doctor and the Monk reach the Monk's TARDIS. So, he goes inside. They both go inside. And then, Stephen and Vicky are already in there. And so, they have a big reunion. Well done, everyone. The Doctor assumes the monk is from the same planet he is, but 50 years in the future.
Based on the design of the TARDIS.
Yeah. So he's like, this is a Mark 3?
4.
4. So I guess the Doctor's TARDIS is a Mark 3? Or whatever. He doesn't say. I think he calls it a Type 40 TARDIS way back.
Oh, okay.
But that's not Mark anything. The companions break the news to the Doctor that their TARDIS is being washed away by the tide, but he's like, nah, don't even worry about it.
Nah, bro.
Nah, bro.
Imagine if he just said that.
They all get captured.
Of course.
Because that's just what happens. They get captured by the Vikings this time, though. Not the monk. the doctor, the monk is like, yeah, I've got these bazookas to blow up the ships. But he claims the bazookas are charms to help the Viking ships sail to clear waters. So that's what he's selling to the Vikings.
Yeah.
They help the monk carry these to the ships, but are interrupted by the Saxons. The Vikings and the monk escape, pursued by the Saxons, while Edith stays behind and she frees the doctor and the companions.
Yep.
And she's like, come back to the village, you're free, let's eat food and be merry.
Which is now the third time he's done that with this lady.
Yeah. She's married.
But what does that anything mean? Anything goes in time and space. Say,
what does that mean in 1066?
In time and space, everything's relative.
The doctor's already married, technically.
Well, I don't know that yet.
Meanwhile, so they've wrapped up everything, basically. Mm-hmm. They're like, the monk's plan has pretty much been dealt with. And so the doctor's like, well, I don't want him to keep meddling with time. So he goes and messes with his TARDIS.
Yeah.
And then they come back together and they do the old, oh, Stephen, we'll keep you, basically.
We won't leave you stranded in 1066.
And they get in their box and the doctor leaves a lovely note for the monk, which is like, hey, welcome back to your TARDIS. I'll come back and help you one day, maybe.
If you do the right thing.
If you do the right thing. And what has he done? He's removed the dimension circuit thing from it, so it stops it from being bigger on the inside. It's just a tiny TARDIS. That's it.
No, I have some thoughts.
As in, like, that's the end of the story. You can have more thoughts.
Well, it's to do with the story.
Okay, go for it.
When the doctor is...
this guy.
When the doctor is messing with his TARDIS and he's underneath there working with the wires,
mm-hmm.
and he tells Vicky to back off because she gets too close, and he's like, no, you're going to keep your nose out of it, right?
I did write keep your nose out of it.
And because he snaps at it so hard, you can see her laughing.
Yeah.
She covers her nose as if to be like acting like, oh, I'm scared of my nose, but it's because you can see her laughing to herself.
Yeah, but I also think that fits well with Vicky's character.
Yeah.
She'd just be like, whatever, old man.
Yeah. And then later when he's like, get out of here, go, and she runs out, she's still laughing. And it works, but it's all obviously the actress being like, this strange old actor is just yelling at me now.
And Steven's the same. He's just like, so what is going to happen? And then he's like, all right, I'm out of here too.
Goodbye.
All right, do you want to hear some references?
One more thing.
Yeah.
Their faces are in the credits in space with that weird...
Oh, I've got it too, yeah. Because I guess it's white effect. The end of the season. I guess they just did like some... cool thing to show at the end.
Well, I was going to ask you, does that happen again every episode, or was it just a season finale?
I think it might just be a season finale thing.
Why didn't they ever do that with Ian and Barbara?
Because that's not a season finale thing. That was just...
In season one? They were in season one, and season one had a finale.
Yeah, but they didn't do that yet.
They didn't had... do what?
They didn't do the face thing yet, did they?
That's what I'm saying, why didn't they?
Because I guess they hadn't figured out how to do that yet.
I'm so confused.
Well, you know, sometimes a different season of a show will have different title and ending sequences, won't it?
But is this how every episode ends now?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to ask, and that is all my thoughts.
Some just references.
Yes, Queen.
The doctor drinks mead from a horn. I thought that was quite good. He seemed to enjoy that alcohol from the lady. From the lady.
From the old woman.
The monk claims to have helped the building of Stonehenge with anti-gravitational lifts.
Yes, which is clever. I like that.
The doctor cites the golden rule of non-interference. So that's, apparently the golden rule from the Time Lords, non-interference, which is annoying at some points. As in, like, because from the Doctor's perspective.
He
like,
wants to.
Yeah. This is the first story in which the acronym TARDIS is said to stand for time and relative dimensions in space, which is slightly different from the singular dimension in space. Which is what Susan said.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say, they've definitely gone through that acronym before.
Yeah.
But it's the plural that's changed, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Peter Purves, who plays Stephen Taylor, was credited differently in these episodes. So in the first one, The Watcher, he's credited as Stephen Taylor, and then he's Stephen from the subsequent episodes. So I guess you know that he's Stephen Taylor at that point.
Oh, I see. I see. Also, what an unfortunate name.
Peter Purves?
Peter Purves.
P-U-R-V-E-S. I don't know how else to pronounce it.
Purvey.
Purvey. Oh, it could be Purvey.
It's not bucket, it's bouquet.
Bouquet.
I'm not a perv, it's Purvey. More, please. Give me facts.
This story was chosen by fans to represent William Hartnell era by fans to be rebroadcast for the Doctor Who 40th anniversary.
I agree with that decision. It's one of his best storylines that exists, thanks BBC. Apparently some of the good ones, you just flush down the toilet, don't you?
The interior of the Monk's TARDIS is actually the Doctor's. It's the same set, but they just changed some of the control console stuff around.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
Of course it is. As if they're going to build a second TARDIS control room for no reason if it's going to look the same.
So that's not an interesting fact?
Well, why is it trivia? Isn't that obvious? I'm not saying that about you. Why would the wiki think that that's a piece of trivia?
I think it's put in the story notes section. I think you might like this bit of trivia already.
Is it a fact? Or is it just something obvious like, hey, this chair was used by two people?
It's a comment from one of the actors about these episodes.
Okay, good.
So, Peter, I'm just going to say
Peter Purves,
described the story as a nice bit of nonsense. It is a nice bit of nonsense.
Yeah, but compared to a lot of the storylines, like the bees.
That's not a nice bit of nonsense.
No, but I don't think it's that nonsense. I think the storyline mostly checks out.
Yeah, but I think it's nonsense in the sense of they come to this place that's going to be under attack by Vikings. And there's another time traveler there. Like, yeah. That's a bit nonsensical.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's good. During production of this story, new producer John Wiles, because remember, we've lost producer Verity Lambert because she left with the others. William Hartnell didn't like the changes he was making to the production. So he play acted throwing a temper tantrum. But I feel like he might have just had a temper tantrum and later said, oh, I was just kidding.
Wow. How much involvement did Verity Lambert have any involvement after that at all? Like,
oh, I'm sure she had some,
like, the consulting or something?
Yeah, because I think she still worked at the BBC.
Okay.
But I'll have a look. Well, when we get to the documentary,
yeah,
we'll have a look then. Docudrama.
I'm just curious if they were like, let's see what she thinks of this.
Now, our continuity notes are starting to line up because there's more things to refer back to. So, last little bit.
Yep.
Obviously, the Doctor and Vicky mention Ian and Barbara leaving. This is listed as the first appearance of the Monk, so he will come back.
Yep.
The Doctor's handwriting is completely different from what he had in the Sensorites. I don't know if that annoyed you at all.
I mean, it is weird if it's the same actor. Why is it different?
I don't know.
That's weird.
The Doctor and Vicky have actually previously visited another monastery in The Doctor's Tale, which is an audio play.
Mm.
So this monk, you'll meet him again, but he ended up being quite a popular character in the extended universe. So he's got multiple incarnations and just took off. So some of the continuity here might spoil things, so I won't go through that. But okay. There's a long list of, like, he faces off against various other doctors in the future.
Right.
So it's quite good.
Why is he not called a doctor as well? Is that not what?
That's not. So the doctor, that's his. The doctor's name is the doctor.
Okay.
So I guess in that same sense, his name is the monk. I thought he was going to call himself the Time Meddler, because the Doctor refers to him as such, but when he returns later, he still refers to himself as the Monk.
Oh, see, I thought he just took on being a monk because he's in a monastery.
I think that's the idea.
But he just kind of like, this is cool, I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But Time Lords have names.
Yeah.
But then they also, when they give themselves a title that becomes their,
like, a moniker.
Yes. That becomes their purpose, basically.
Okay.
So, interesting. You meet others. You meet the Valyard, and you meet the General, and, I mean, guess what he's all about. And
just general information. Trivia.
The Corsair is another one. The Rani. You meet her as well.
What do you think about this, the General? Oh, just whatever. Just keep it general.
All right. Give me your rating out of 13.
10.
Okay, I was expecting higher.
Well, see, I'm worried because I feel like...
It's going to get better because everything's going to get... I mean, it's going to get worse, trust me.
I know there's worse coming, but there's going to be at some point where I'm going to be like, this is the best episode ever. And if I'm already rating things 11, 12, and 13, I'm stuck.
I think I am going to go for 11 because it is good. And
I really enjoyed it. It's
a very solid episode.
Yes.
It's
up there with the Aztecs. And I like the one where they were stuck in the
box.
In the box for two episodes.
The Edge of Destruction.
Yes, that was a great one too. I like the one where he was in a lawyer in a courtroom.
Yes.
I like the one at the beginning of time. They were all good stories. Oh,
the cave. The one with the Cave of Skulls and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was the first one.
See, if you keep rating all of the... Yeah, if you keep rating them all 10, 11, 12, 13. The Doctor almost
killed a caveman with a rock, but okay. I think I'm going to go with 11, though.
That's a good rating.
Yeah.
So who am I picking? What's 10?
10, David Tennant.
Oh.
Who is currently filming scenes for the 60th anniversary. He's come back.
Ooh.
I think I mentioned that in last week's episode. Because I distinctly remember me saying... It's been 15 years since he last played the Doctor, and he still looks, you know, he's still looking pretty good.
Yeah.
But I think they might need to...
Oh, that's right.
They'll have to say something.
Oh.
And I think Matt Smith is also coming back. He played the 11th Doctor. I don't know about the rest of them, though. I think Peter Capaldi would probably come back because he's a fan of the show before he was an actor on it. So right. I think he would probably be like, yeah, I'll do a scene for the fans.
William Hartnell doesn't come back, does he?
No. But not to spoil anything, but the first Doctor, like if they do like a flashback or something, like he's being portrayed by other actors.
Oh.
No, they do good. They do good.
Yeah, but he's so good.
Yeah, but I guess they're more modern actors. They're good at impersonating.
Because all I'm thinking of now is the last storyline where that guy was the other Doctor that the Daleks
put together. No, the actual actors do it.
Okay. That would be the worst.
Yeah. And I think they could have other actors come and play various parts. I think they should get... John Pertwee has a son who basically just looks like him.
Mm.
And I reckon they should get him to... John Pertwee's the third Doctor.
Okay, so coming soon.
He played Alfred in the TV show Gotham.
Oh.
So that guy is John Pertwee's son. Sean Pertwee.
But he looks like him.
He looks like him.
Interesting.
He even dressed like him for Halloween once. And everyone was like, Is that John Pertwee? So that's pretty good.
That's great.
So
David Tennant and a Matt Smith.
And a Matt Smith. Alright, so next episode we will watch The Dalek Invasion of Earth of 2150.
But we'll actually watch it together.
Yeah, we'll watch it together.
Oh, date night.
Thanks everyone for listening.
Yeah.
If you like this, please please rate it.
Less tonight.
Let's rate it.
Yep.
And share it. There's also a link tree that's got links to everything that exists that we're on.
Yep.
Like Facebook and stuff like that's down in the episode Instagram, description as well.
Twitter, all the podcast places.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for listening.
Yes, thank you.
We'll see you next time. We'll see you.
Time meddler.
Yeah. Time for smack bottom. Bye.
Oh, bye.
What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of the ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity!
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity!
Reverse the polarity!
Reverse.
reverse the polarity.
He's reversed the polarity!